morning I'll be reading from Psalms, the 121st Psalm. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Hello, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Can everybody hear me? Good. Well, let me start off by saying that it is a humbling experience to stand before you and share the Word of God. I have been a member of the Church of Christ for about 25 years, and I'm what some people would call a cradle Christian, meaning that I was born to parents who loved God and had a passion for His teachings and therefore instilled it in me from a young age. God's guiding presence has always been in my life, whether I have accepted it and acknowledged it is an entirely different story. Even cradle Christians like myself go through those painfully embarrassing teenage years in which we find ourselves coming up with multiple excuses to not go to church on Wednesday evenings because it's not really cool. All joking aside, despite my several years in the church and having heard what I can only guess to be about 1,000 sermons or so, I found myself momentarily at a loss when I was preparing for today's sermon. What could I say to you that hasn't been said in this space? What could I say to you on this second Sunday of Lent that would be encouraging, inspiring, and maybe even memorable? After all, today is my first sermon, my big debut, so I was feeling a little bit of pressure to do a good job. Luckily, I was given a text to preach on, and Steve Sargent was kind enough to send me a packet of materials that I could draw inspiration from. And today, I want to focus on two verses from the passage that I was assigned. The first is Psalms 121, verse 1. Which most biblical scholars, according to what I read in the material, agree that the text is the starting point of a journey. The author embarks on this journey by asking a simple question. From where will my help come? What a simple yet profound question. One that I am certain many of you, if not all, have had to ask yourselves at one point or another in your life, in your own life journey. I know I have asked myself that multiple times, in fact. Walking with God from a young age, however, has not made me exempt to suffering and difficulties, because it comes with the territory of being human. Rather, it has given me a distinct awareness of a different way to walk through this life's journey. Lord, my God, who am I that you should forsake me, the child of your love, and now become as the most hated one? The one you have thrown away, unwanted, unloved. I call, I cling, I want, and there is no one to answer. No one on whom I can cling. No one. Alone. The darkness is so dark, and I am alone, unwanted and forsaken. The loneliness of the heart that wants love is unbearable. Where is my faith? Even deep down, right in, there is nothing but emptiness and darkness. My God, how painful is this unknowing pain? It pains without ceasing. I have no faith. I dare not utter the words and thoughts that crowd my heart and make me suffer untold agony. So many unanswered questions live within me, and I am afraid to uncover them because of the blasphemy. If there be God, please forgive me. Trust that all will end in heaven with Jesus. When I try to raise my thoughts to heaven, there is such convicting emptiness that those very thoughts return like sharp knives and hurt my very soul. Love. The word, it brings nothing. I am told that God loves me. And yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. Before the work started, there was much union, love, faith, trust, prayer, sacrifice. Did I make the mistake by surrendering blindly to all of the Sacred Heart? The work is not a doubt, because I am convicted the work is His and not mine. I do not feel, not even a simple single thought or temptation enters my heart to claim anything in the work. The whole time smiling, sisters pass. And they remark, they think my faith, my trust, my love are filling my very being. That the intimacy with God and the union to His will must be absorbing my heart. Could they but know how my cheerfulness is the cloak by which I cover the emptiness and misery. In spite of all, this darkness and emptiness is not as painful as the longing for God. The contradiction I fear will unbalance me. What are you doing, my God, to one so small? When you asked to imprint your passion on my heart, was this the answer? If this brings you glory, if you get a drop of joy from this, if souls are brought to you, if my suffering satisfies your thirst, here I am, Lord, with joy. I accept all to the end of life, and I will smile at your hidden face, always. These are not my words, but those of Saint Teresa of Calcutta, or as she is more commonly known, Mother Teresa. For those of you who are unfamiliar with her life story, Mother Teresa was an Albanian Indian nun who dedicated her entire life to caring for the unwanted, the dying, and the hungry of India and other parts of the world. She was the 1979 Nobel Peace Prize winner and was presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Ronald Reagan in 1985. And just last year, she was declared a saint by the Catholic Church. She was indeed an extraordinary woman who was said to radiate with God's light and peace. I chose to share her words with you today because I found myself amazed and inspired to read that such a woman of her spiritual caliber could have been riddled with such darkness and suffering. Throughout her work with the unwanted and the unloved, as she called them, she often found herself feeling the same way as those she helped. Her inner battles were recorded in private letters that she shared with two of her spiritual directors throughout her entire ministry. And her words served as a reminder to me as I prepared for today's sermon that pain and darkness are not absent in the life of those who walk with God. And saints are no exception. The writer of Psalms 121 seemed to have been conscious of this because they start their journey by looking to the hills or the mountains and asking for help, well aware of the dangers that lay ahead. In verse 2, the author answers their own question. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So you might be asking yourself why I chose to start off with Mother Teresa and start by highlighting her deep suffering as opposed to perhaps one of her more positive and motivating moments or letters. Well, it's not because I'm a sadist, although some of my friends might tell you otherwise, but it's to point out one simple thing. In order for light to shine, there must be darkness. In order to ask for help, there must be an acknowledgement that we are weak and that we require help from a force greater than we are. As Christians, we look to the hills and acknowledge that we are weak and in need of help. And it is in God that we find our strength and refuge. Paul reminds us of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So this December, I received my master's in counseling, and Friday, I passed my national counselor's exam. So for those of you who were praying and aware, thank you. And as some of you may know, the process was quite a journey. As I struggled through my practicum and at times failed miserably to balance school, work, personal lives, and other responsibilities, I found a surprising renewal sense of joy and passion for Christ. However, this renewal did not come immediately. In fact, it came after a long and hard battle with myself, in which I was forced to face my unwillingness to fully trust and rely in God. It was in my moments of darkness, riddled with anxiety over my future, that I came face to face with my own shortcomings. And in my own weakness and brokenness, I looked to the hills and found my source of help in God. What a simple concept. Trust in God, and He will strengthen you and help you through your hardships. As faithful Christians, this is what we believe, and this is what we learn from the beginning. And the Bible is filled with testimonies and stories of fellow brothers and sisters who learn to rely fully and wholeheartedly on God and His promises. In the Old Testament, we find stories of the people of Israel and their painfully long journey towards the Promised Land. The book of Exodus alone is filled with story after story of God reaching out to His people, asking them to trust fully in Him and only Him. Yet we see His people, time after time, give in to their fears, anxieties, and doubts by creating false gods, by daring to question God's ability to care for them and provide for them in the wilderness. And as perhaps as many of us who have read the stories of Israel before have asked ourselves, why? Why, O people of Israel? If you are firsthand witnesses of God's amazing power and immense strength, do you doubt him and fail to completely trust in him? Well, perhaps the answer is simple. Because it's a story as old as time. Our flesh is weak, and the temptation to rely on ourselves is ever so present. In the New Testament, we see the same pattern of human nature play out in the life and ministry of Jesus. Doubt in Jesus and his message as the Messiah ultimately led him to the cross. Yet through his journey and his example, we are shown the ultimate testimony of what it means to fully and wholeheartedly rely on God as our main source of strength. In Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46, we see Jesus turn to the hills to pray moments before his arrest. He's followed by his disciples, and he warns them to not fall asleep and to pray so that they may not fall into temptation. The text then says, he withdrew a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed most earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. Today is the second Sunday in Lent, and Lent is a time in the Christian calendar that we can take time to prepare for the celebration of the death and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've never practiced Lent, I strongly encourage it, as it can be a 40-day journey towards spiritual cleansing and renewal. If your heart and spirit desire to be purified through self-sacrifice. This Lent, I chose to cleanse my spirit of anxiety and doubt, and to rely more deeply and fully in God and his word. In my moments of anxiety and doubt, I have found myself turning to Scripture in a way that I hadn't before. And it was in the Scriptures and through his word that I found relief. My hope for you is that you will find encouragement and joy in the knowledge that our only source of true strength and renewal comes through Christ alone. It is in our moments of darkness and weakness that God's light can fully shine through us. And as a closing gesture, I want to share with you a song that I've carried with me from my youth. This is a song in Spanish, and when Steve gave me the text, as I read it, the song instantly popped up in my head. I said, I know this song because I know this song because it is deep in my heart. And this is a song that is, I think, mainly, I think it only talks about the first two verses. And so it's a reminder for us that our help comes from the Lord, from He who rescues our souls. So I invite you to listen to this song as we prepare to move on to intercessory prayer. After we are done listening to this song, Caleb will lead us in some songs. And for those of you who are feeling the need to pray, or perhaps have something that's heavy on your heart and would like to perhaps engage in confession with your brothers and sisters, please do so. There will be prayer partners at the back who will be happy to help you with that. And I want to thank you for your time. It was truly a blessing and an honor and a privilege to share with you a few of my thoughts. I hope that you'll have a great Sunday and that your week is filled with blessings and strength and renewal that comes only from the Lord. Thank you.
Mis ojos a los montes, alzaré mis ojos a Jehová. ¿De dónde vendrá mi socorro? ¿De dónde vendrá mi la paz? Liberando mi alma del Seol. Alzaré mis ojos a los montes, alzaré mis ojos a Jehová. ¿De dónde vendrá mi socorro? ¿De dónde vendrá mi la paz? Liberando mi alma del Seol. Alzaré,
alzaré
mis ojos a los montes,
alzaré,
alzaré,
alzaré
mis ojos a Jehová.
The Lord our God is with us.